The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, I am live and really enjoying the day. It's beautiful outside, you know. I went outside on my deck and we have a beautiful piece of property out here in Oakton, Virginia. And I was looking out back and there's a family of about five deer that just have gotten so used to people, they just kind of hang. And they were looking at me and I was looking at them, and, you know, just kind of the ambiance that you really wish for on an ongoing basis. It's like kind of cool. So when I'm done with the radio program, I think I'm going to go out and play with those guys. They're kind of fun. Having said that, it's been an interesting several months in the clinic. And what I mean by that, we're starting to see things that are showing up symptomatically that people wouldn't expect to be around this time of the year. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about joint pains, shoulders and arms and knees and your neck and shoulder areas and hips and so forth that suddenly start hurting. And there's no simple reason for the fact that they're hurting, with the exception that there's some conclusions that can be drawn. I know I'm talking a little randomly, but here's what it comes down to. Joint space pain that kind of shows up out of nowhere, and it can be inflamed or it can just ache or it can be difficult reaching and moving, often has a relationship to something that's decided to inhabit that space. And what we're talking about in this particular situation is we're talking about viruses. Viruses of many kind. It doesn't make any difference what the name of the virus is. It has a propensity to infect different parts of the body. Joints, cartilage is one of them. The lymphatic system is another. And those are common areas. So we've gone through this 2.5 years of COVID and all the variants and so forth. And, you know, we've had other viruses. The COVID virus is similar to any other type of coronavirus. It's similar to influenza. They're all called enveloped viruses, you know, like an envelope. So we're going to talk about what that means as the show goes on, because I want you to understand some of the things that may be happening to you, and you may be going after them the wrong way and actually making things more complicated, if you will, over a period of time. There was a patient that walked into the office this last week, and one of my associates said, would you come into the office and, you know, kind of be another set of eyes and check it out? I said, sure. So I went in and I met this very lovely young woman. She's probably about 38, 39, young to me, obviously. And I asked her, I said, what seems to be the problem? And she said, I don't know why, you know, but I've had these joint pains, and it started on one side of my body. Now it's another side of the body. The other side gets a little less, and then it shows up again. And I said, interesting. I said, when did it start? She said, well, it's slow over the last 6 or 7 months. And so I looked at her and I said, did you have COVID? Did you get any of the variants? And she says, well, I thought I did, you know, a little bit, and I wasn't, you know, in bad shape. And then I asked her the next question. I said, have you had any of the vaccines? And she said, yes. She said, I did. And I said, oh, okay. So now we have two exposures. We have the virus, maybe, you know, that she had something. And we had the vaccine, which is known to produce a tremendous amount of different side effects, particularly inflammatory reactions around tissues like the heart and the brain and intestinal tract and so forth. It's very well admitted to at this point, things that I've been kind of beating the drum on now for the last several years. But here's the situation. We're seeing more pain patterns that show up because of viral infections or viruses that have been reactivated. And the number one reactivated virus that seems to be consistent, according to a lot of the publications that are going to the National Institute of Health through the National Library of Medicine, is the coronavirus that is called Epstein-Barr virus. You know, back in the day when we were kids, mononucleosis, well, that's the same viral pattern that causes, you know, they used to call it, you know, the sleeping sickness or sleeping disease, or, you know, I don't feel good and I don't have any energy and so forth. But it goes far more than that. The truth of it is that about 100% of the United States population above the age of 21 has a positive antibody for Epstein-Barr virus. That means that you've been exposed to it. In many cases, you've been infected with it, and your body's done very well of holding it back. And some people come in and complain of different types of symptoms from, I don't feel good, my stomach doesn't work, I don't have any energy, I can't seem to think, and my joints hurt. So, and then it goes away for whatever reason, or there's other pieces of the puzzle that you put up with, or you kind of dumb it down with different types of medications so you can continue to go on and live your life, supposedly. So now comes these last 2.5 years, and we have other things that seem to be in play, if you will. And now we have all these inflammatory reactions, you know, the words that have been used on television, the talking heads, interleukin 6, which is a highly inflammatory pathway, and interleukin 1 and so forth. And they mean certain things. What they all mean is that it's part of an inflammatory puzzle, if you will. So when I looked at this woman, and we have a lot of the testers, by the way, for the viral patterns, and we do it through neuromuscle function response testing. Kind of an interesting phenomena that gives us an idea that something might be present, and then we can follow up with the testing that we need to get done to confirm that, which also gives us the ability to, you know, to treat adequately. So now you have the nervous system that's being involved. You have these joint spaces that are irritated. You have this embedded Epstein-Barr pattern that's there. And so how do you begin to look at these things? Well, like I said, we can test to see, get a suspicion. And by the way, as I'm going on this, I want you to also think that there's other pieces that like to do the same thing. So you have to distinguish which one is which. We're not only talking about an activation of other viral elements like Epstein-Barr, but we're also looking at heavy metals that can get in, particularly mercury and cadmium and nickel and so forth. And they can get into joint spaces as well, into soft tissue and into the brain and the like, which this coronavirus, this nonsense we've been dealing with, this COVID virus does also. But we have other pieces like Lyme disease that will do the same thing. So now you're dealing with this juggernaut of multiple pieces of the puzzle, and you have to find out which one is which to be able to fix it or to get a person back to they have some life. So you have activation of viruses. You have other pieces like Lyme that has this biofilm, which is a protective pattern. But these viruses that we're talking about also has this envelope, if you will. It's called an enveloped virus. And it's actually made by a synergistic effect between the virus and your cell tissue. And it protects it. It encloses it in these buds, which we call the attachments, if you will, to the cell, are embedded in this thing, and they don't go away. That's why this thing is so ridiculously persistent and resistant unless it's affected the right way. So what I want you to understand is that pain that you might be having, that inflammatory reaction, the inability to think as clearly as you used to, the fear pattern that you've had for a long period of time is a result of all the things that we were talking about leading to a decreased immunological response. And if you've had anything that was predisposing before that, like any other viral pattern, and by the way, everybody, we've had hundreds of exposures to different viruses over our lifetime. If you're in your 30s and your 40s and, you know, you're in the decades above that, you've had tremendous amount of exposures. If you've had vaccines with attenuated viral patterns, these are viruses that they inject in your body with the idea that it's going to cause an immune reaction. They're not dead viruses. They still are alive. They're just kind of, you know, semi-alive, dormant. I'm going to use that phraseology so we can all understand it a little bit. They're there, and they can be activated. We talk about the shingles vaccine. Again, we're talking about the same type of patterns across the board. I'm going to draw it together for you, and I'm going to tell you what you can do about it. the shingles vaccine, you know, you hear the advertising on television, as I've said before, if you've ever had chickenpox, you have the virus that causes shingles, so go get your shingles vaccine. Well, that doesn't make any sense because they're going to give you the same virus that you've had already. Why would you do that if you already have it? Instead of asking the question, why is your systemic immune system not working the way it's supposed to? So when I look at something, I want to know why it's being reactivated to begin with, what I can do to calm this thing down and get your body to heal as it was meant to and bring up your immunological responses adequately so we can fight this thing. So we're going to be talking about that type of situation today. We're going to be talking about the impact that not only the COVID-19 and flu, which are envelope type of viruses, and what they do in the body, but ultimately what we can do to make a difference in how things begin to evolve over a period of years. So, you know, the COVID-19 virus can infect, matter of fact, the deal is this, that virtually 100% of the population has been exposed to the virus at this point. There's no doubt about it. If you go into Johns Hopkins and you look in their sites, you go into World Health Organization, you go into the CDC and so forth, and you start reading between the lines, but go into PubMed, and which is the NIH publication, they're basically going to tell you that it's all of us at this point have been exposed one way or the other. So, you know, what's the person to do, right? Well, the thing that is not to avoid the virus, because you can't, in my opinion. There's no way that you can get it done, because neurologically we're seeing so many different types of presentations that only can be as a result of that. But what can you do to protect your body from these viral loads or these anything else that comes in, the bacterial loads and so forth? You know, I saw a patient the other day that was, you know, still very, very fearful. And I feel badly that people have got to the place that they're afraid. And, you know, she's all covered up and so forth. And I started talking to her, and I'm standing there. I don't have a mask on, and I'm, you know, just kind of casually talking to a few people and embracing them and so forth. And she looked at me and she said, "Aren't you afraid?" I said, "Of what?" And she says, "Well, of everything that's out there." I said, "Not really. Let me tell you why." And we talked a little bit about immunological responses and what happens when your body's immune system is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And if you don't have a predisposing situation, an inflammatory reaction, by the way, when you have a predisposition to something, you know, heart problem or diabetes, or, you know, you're too heavy, you're too fat, you can't metabolize your androgens, meaning your estrogens, your progesterones, and your testosterones adequately, and they begin to accumulate in your body, that's what you have to deal with. You have to deal with those things to make a difference. So we're going to talk about what an envelope is, what you can do to break it down, how to protect yourself, but more importantly, why are you in pain suddenly where you were not in pain before? Why is the pain that was doable for a period of time suddenly not doable? You can't handle it anymore. It's not there. Well, there's all kinds of reasons, and we're going to explore those reasons, but more importantly, I'm going to give you the fix. We're coming up to a break. We're talking about a very interesting subject that I think all of you need to know more about. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. I'll be right back after some very important information. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizal here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live, as you do every Sunday. Listen, we're talking about a subject that kind of got my interest this last week, simply because of the fact that I have patients that came in, one particularly that was suffering from joint pain that she didn't know where it came from. One of my doctors asked me to pop into the room and take a look. And through the course of what I consider probably the most important piece of the examination is questioning, asking, and so forth, she told me that, you know, this has been coming on gradually and it was no reason for it. But she had had one, she thought maybe she had one of the variants of COVID, but she'd also had a vaccine. And then when we went through the process, she had a history of having Epstein-Barr virus. And the sequela is one of activation, if you will, of an underlying viral pattern. It wasn't necessarily the COVID virus, even if she got the variant. The other piece of the puzzle simply is the vaccine is known to reactivate other underlying conditions. And that's according to a very prestigious journal called The Lancet. They published a great article in October 2020. Back then, they said that nearly 15 to 18% of all COVID-19 patients were reporting joint pain. And then we know that viral infections are known to cause acute joint pain or an arthritic type of, you know, presentation. So the question then becomes, why is that? Are all viruses that way? So when you use, you know, that monocular, if you will, to look at these things, it's usually produced by viral infections that are already present in somebody's body, not a new one. A whole lot of things like mumps, if you will, and infectious mononucleosis, Epstein-Barr virus, even hepatitis. These viral infections can lead to a bout of, they call it an infectious arthritic condition, but only because the viral pattern is already present. But again, why does it happen? Why does that inflammatory reaction happen? Now, the follow through with this is that it causes destruction of the cartilage that is within the joint, like the knees and the shoulders and hips and so forth. So all of a sudden, when you get this arthralgia or this joint pain like situation, now you've got an underlying condition that you better find out about and treat accordingly. Unfortunately, when you're dealing with these patterns, most physicians, one, generally aren't aware of the damage that it can do, but more importantly, the joint pain and the stiffness and the loss of motion, destruction of the cartilage and so forth isn't treated well, so it begins to persist and continue over a period of time. We're going to try to give you some reasoning for that as we go through the show, but more importantly, give you a way to dealing with it. So, you know, we deal with those kind of pain patterns on an ongoing basis, and we see people who are professional athletes and weekend warriors like most of us, and we need to understand what triggers these arthritic type of symptoms, if you will, these joint pain problems. Are there anything that you can do to prevent them and help them? Relieving pain with medication and changing activities is one way to deal with it, but you got to maintain joint movement and you got to maintain muscle strength and overall function. If you can't maintain those things, the body goes bone on bone. It goes to degeneration. Your immune system begins to crash. You hurt all over. You begin to see muscle pain as well. There's an article, Inflammation of Joints and Bones with Arthritis in WebMD, that I found very interesting, but it just talked about the inflammatory pathway. It didn't tell you about what was triggering it, and more importantly, what you can do not only to fix it, but how does one prevent these things from happening? I've spent 45 years of my life treating patients with all kinds of pain. And pain has a nebulous presentation. Most times, from a traditional point of view, nobody knows where it's coming from. Fortunately, as we deal with the patient and we really ask the questions that are the most important, meaning, where did you live? Where did you grow up? Did you serve in the military? How many vaccines have you had? Have you had heavy metals that have been put in your body from dental fillings and things of that nature? Those are all important. So if somebody grew up in Western New York State or in Pittsburgh and they are of my genre, my generation, you know, all of a sudden that tells me I better look a little closer at heavy metals. Why would that be? Because Bethlehem Steel was based in Buffalo and in Pittsburgh. And guess the big ovens that they melted everything with were fueled by coal. Coal gives out something called mercuric oxide. And subsequently, that mercuric oxide can get very high. If somebody likes fish, particularly swordfish and tuna, they're two of the highest levels or two of the highest foods that produce mercury poisoning within the body and subsequently joint space pain and degeneration and so forth. So now a little injury becomes massive. People come in with pain and migraines and just tissue pain, but more importantly, joint pain because of the vaccines that they've had, particularly if they've been in military, particularly if they've been in State Department and they've been put all over the world. They get things put in their body that, you know, not on a good day, they'd have to chase me down to put that into my body. But the point of it is that those things are loaded with stabilizers called thimerosal, and thimerosal is mercury. So you have to make sure that you ask the right questions, but make sure your doctors are asking you the right questions. And if they don't, give them the information, particularly if you know it would to be true for you. But when we get in the second half of the program, we're going to talk about the fix, the identification, what you can do to find out, and how you fix these pains that seem to come out of nowhere. We're here at 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Love to talk to you. Come back in just a minute.
Dr. Tom Rosell Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rosell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rosell Live. It's a beautiful day. Really enjoy it today. Get outside and breathe the fresh air. You know, this isn't like a perfect summer the last 2, 3, 4 days. It's been unbelievable. Hopefully it'll continue and we won't get into the, you know, the drolls of hot and humid and nasty and ugly. And never mind. Just enjoy what you got. Interesting program, at least for me today, because I'm, you know, these are things that we see on an ongoing basis. We're talking about joint pain that seems to come out of nowhere and subsequently triggers the pattern. But the most important thing is, what can you do about it? But let's kind of recap a little bit. And by the way, we're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We're talking about the activation of pain patterns, and they can be mostly joints and randomly, or it can be just locked into one area, or it can be muscular pain. It also can affect neurological transmission on a lot of levels. We know that the intestinal tract has been affected by coronavirus and other viral patterns as well. But what we're seeing and what the literature now seems to bear out, slowly slipping into the mainstream with a lot of people getting involved, you just don't hear about it because it doesn't make good news, is that these viral patterns can be activated by other situations. And what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about this COVID-19 virus, the vaccines and so forth. And it's really not, you know, even the viral pattern was not a traditional virus in the sense of what viruses do and how they act within the body. We know that it's admitted to it and so forth. But in addition to that, the vaccines now can reactivate, and the literature from different areas of very, very prestigious publications have borne this out, that they can activate the underlying DNA, if you will, of a virus that's already dormant in your body. So it can activate a herpes virus, it can activate a shingles virus, it can activate the one that seems to be causing a tremendous amount of problems is Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV, and it's a spinoff of the thing called mononucleosis, or mononucleosis viral pattern that we all talked about when we were kids, but you can still have that, and people end up having mono multiple times because their immune system isn't strong enough to protect them. So at the end of the day, what we want to find out is, what can we do to protect ourselves from all this nonsense, these viral loads, these envelope patterns that are showing up? And when I'm talking about an enveloped virus, I'm simply talking about a mechanism that surrounds the viral pattern and protects it. Now, there are non-enveloped viruses as well. Okay, so you have to distinguish them. But the ones that we're talking about are ones that seem to do the most egregious damage in the body. The body, when exposed to one of these potential envelope viruses, causes the envelope to form based on your cellular structure in a symbiotic relationship with the virus itself. And it kind of walls it off, so it's very difficult to get to. That's why this COVID viral pattern and others like it sometimes are very difficult to treat because you have to interrupt that envelope. And there's ways of doing that. There was a product that a company called Phoenix Biotechnological Research Laboratories came up with, which was a derivative, if you will, a fractionated portion of a plant that would basically kill you if you took it in the whole, but in very, very minor extracts. What it did was it broke up the ability of that envelope to maintain itself. So subsequently, the viral pattern could be killed, if you will. These are important things to think it through. Your body has an immune system that is capable of defending you virtually against all things. So why do we have so much of a problem, if you will, today? So let's talk about that, and then let's talk about the fix. Again, we're here at 888-630-9625. So, you know, we're living in a society, if you will, that, and I'm going to use my words, that, you know, we're too fat. You know, we're immunologically suppressed because of our exposures. We don't get outside. We don't exercise. You know, I saw a very interesting little tidbit on Facebook the other day talking about, you know, our generation will never return. You know, the generation where we went out and we rode our bikes and then we were home before sundown and, you know, we were exposed to these things and we played and, you know, we knew where our friends were simply because all the bikes were laying on the streets and so forth. That doesn't exist anymore. So exercise and movement is one thing. We don't get that piece of it. Our foods are so adulterated. We're a junk food society where we're eating way too many carbohydrates. So we're seeing other things show up, like a dramatic increase in something called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. You know, a Hashimoto's patient, the number one thing that has to be done is stay away from all grains, period, end of story. You have to increase selenium and you have to do some other things to support that. That pattern, that immunological response can be dealt with, but you have to know what were the triggering mechanisms. Just like what we're talking about right now with these viral structures. Why is the viral pattern so deadly? All envelope viruses, not we're talking about COVID, but we're talking about the flu, the H1N1, we're talking about the common cold, we're talking about herpes simplex, we're talking about things of that nature. The list goes on. There are many, many different types. And this one that they're threatening us with now called Ebola, which is the hemorrhagic condition, the virus that causes that. And by the way, it can be treated. They have all the mechanisms of treatment, and I would start talking about it. In my opinion, you know, this isn't over yet, and you may see a reoccurrence or resurgence of something, and that Ebola pattern may be one of them. So be aware and just start doing your homework. Go into the different sites where you can get true, honest information, and always send me a note at drtomrozell.com, and I will send you literature. I'll tell you where to find it so you can do your homework. I want to support you in doing your own research so you really understand what you can do and not just take the talking heads. Remember, these guys on the television stations don't have PhDs in immunological research, and the ones that they put up there, the ones that are there to support. And we're talking about both sides of the plate, by the way. We're talking about the left, the right, and in between. So, but you're smart people. Do your homework, ask the question, why is that? And don't fall into prey of something that is told to you just because it's told you. That's why I get myself in so much trouble all the time, because I'm giving you the truth. And, you know, again, you know, YouTube decided to shut me down again for a short period of time. I think I'm back up, but, you know, because I put things up that they don't want anybody to know about, even though that they're well documented and they're well substantiated. So here's, we've got this. What I want you to draw from this so far is this. Because of prior exposures, whether they're vaccines with high levels of stabilizers like thimerosal, which is mercury, you've gone to the dentist and you've had a mercury filling or silver filling, which is mercury, nickel, and silver. Those things absorb into your body. And we're just talking about limousine. If you've gone and you've had vaccines because you've traveled the world and you couldn't go anyplace out there, or now you've had the COVID vaccines, which really aren't a vaccine per se. And we know that people, and this is straight up from World Health Organization and Johns Hopkins now, people who've had the vaccines seem to be apparently more susceptible to viral infections than other people. wow, right? We were hoping to prevent that, but the truth of it is that they don't stop you from getting or transmitting anything. But what's happening is they're reactivating patterns, particularly Epstein-Barr virus, within your body that goes to neurological pathways in the body. It goes to lymphatic tissue, but it also goes to joints. And that's where we're getting the pain. That's where people are showing up. Back in October of 2020, they said that viral patterns can cause X, Y, and Z. And then in 2021, there were more articles. And then this year, there were more articles released, is that there's activation of viral patterns that have a potential for cartilage. So knees and ankles and shoulders and hips and so forth, causing damage and deterioration of those joint spaces. So we know that. What can we do about that? Well, your body has natural antiviral pathways that need to be supported. And one of the things that we have to make sure that we do, and just very simple things, is keeping your vitamin D levels very high. Up until recently, the thought process was that if your vitamin D level was above 32, that you're okay. Well, the truth of it is that anything that is less than 50, 49 or less, is considered insufficient. 32 or less is highly deficient. And now we're not talking vitamin D just as it relates to breaking bones or the integrity of your structural components, but vitamin D is one of the number one elements in your body that maintains immunological response. Zinc is another one. We have to keep those areas up. Vitamin C is necessary for all of us, and not just 100 milligrams a day. Vitamin C activates something called interferon within the body, which is antiviral and also is used for cancers based on Linus Pauling's work going way back into the day. And because it's activation of interferon within the cell structure, which goes after viral elements. So just doing those things, and then we can take the next step, and there are many other pieces of the puzzle. Cells begin to die and they begin to break down, and we have to get rid of, they're called senescent cells. You have to get rid of those things. Otherwise they clog up the system and they cause inflammatory activity to get much higher. Well, there's a product called NAD. We've talked about it before, that is really important in cleaning up that environment. The molecule has a function of generating cells and particularly mitochondria. NAD not only helps convert food into energy, but it also plays a role in maintaining your DNA integrity, your DNA, your body's map of who you are and what can be done. Ensures proper cell function, protects your body from aging, and the important piece is our other disease processes. So sometimes, a lot of the NAD on the market isn't worth a damn, my opinion. But if you're going to take it, you take it in a liposomal form. We utilize it to clear out damaged senescent cells. And then we want to upregulate the cells. And then we use things like StemTor, which make things even better along the way. But you still have to find out where the system is broke. Why is it broken? Is it dealing with a viral pattern? If it is dealing with a viral pattern, how can we get your body's system to turn back on to make sure that it's working properly? In the literature and WebMD, which is sometimes a good place to look at information, sometimes it's not so good to look at information there. NAD, or it's called nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, NAD, occurs naturally in the body and plays a role in chemical processes that generate your energy. That's where we're getting fatigued. That's why the body, has no oomph after you've had a viral exposure, if you will. But it's used for a lot of things. When your mind gets foggy, NAD will help clarity. A lot of functional medicine doctors will do NAD drips, and they take a long time. They can take all day to do that. And the reason for it is NAD, if you infuse it too fast, if you IV it too quickly, can make you feel like you want to lose your bowels and feels like somebody's sitting on your chest. And those, it's not going to hurt you. That's just an unfortunate side effect. So if you do it slow, 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 you don't have that. If you're taking the liposoma form, or if you're taking the suppository form, which we often will use, it makes a huge difference. But it helps in the support and the rejuvenation of many systems, but particularly cells that have been damaged. Patients who have intentional tremors, or Parkinson's patients and so forth. It helps reduce the effect of alcohol on the liver, if you will. It protects against the side effects of a drug called AZT, which is used for AIDS patients. So this NAD is produced in our bodies and involves in the energy platforms, if you will, of body, and it protects it. It reduces blood pressure and lowers cholesterol. So what does that mean? That means it works with liver, and it helps with that fatigue pattern because it upregulates something called mitochondria, which needs a lot of different things. But the mitochondria produces something called ATP. So you heard it once. It's called adenosine triphosphate. And that's your energy pathways. That's your little engine that could. Without that, you're going to feel kind of wiped out, done, you know, kind of destroyed and so forth. So all this is to say this. We need to find out why people are hurting. We have to make sure that we ask the right questions along the way. When did this happen? Were you exposed to this? Have you been avoiding certain things? Have you gotten any exercise at all? So when I start, my questions are going to be, when was the very first time that this ever happened to you? How were you feeling before that? Was there any injury or trauma that may have preceded this? And then I start asking questions about exposures relative to heavy metals. I ask exposures about vaccinations. Things of that nature that we know today that we've been saying and we were put aside for can cause all these crazy side effects, but more importantly, pain patterns. So we want to make sure that we take the right approach, that we don't set the patient aside, that we upregulate the energy cycles in the body, and we get the patient to understand that they have to be a partner in making things resolve and helping them. Because, you know, by the way, you got yourself there to begin with. You cause the predispositions. You're the ones that are deficient in the vitamin D and B12 and things of that nature. And, you know, you start talking about symptoms of my heart's flipping around, symptoms, my blood pressure's too high, my symptoms of I don't have any energy anymore, anything like that. We're coming up to a break, and this is a program that I wish we could just kind of sit and have a grand rounds, or just sit around and talk and ask questions and answer questions, because I think that would probably be much more effective. But having said that, I'm going to give you some how-to when we come back. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizal. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends about us and go to our YouTube channel and check us out. All the programs, hundreds of them are there, and they're all titled, and you'll get an education that you could get a master's degree in. Make sure that you take advantage of that. And if we could do anything to help you, always reach out at drtomrozelle.com or simply rozellecare.com. Either one, it'll get to me. I promise you I will answer your questions. If you want to talk to one of the doctors at the Rozelle Center for Healing, just call and say, hey, I need to talk to somebody, and they will call you back, I promise. We have a call. Want to take it? Mary, are you hanging in there? How can I help you?
Hi. Sorry, my radio was bad, and that's why I'm calling this late. I listen every week. I wanted to ask about vitamin K, such as in spinach, you know, long green things, how that affects, if that is bad, for, you know, including your topic of viruses as well as the heart. I have a heart condition, and I was told not to ever take anything with vitamin K. I wondered what is correct.
Okay, so what you want to do is K2 and vitamin D together are tremendously beneficial for cardiac function. and you want to make sure that you're taking the right amounts, and that would be based on your blood work. But 2,000 to 10,000 units of vitamin D is usually appropriate. You want to keep your levels, target levels of vitamin D, 75 to 85. Your vitamin K, or K2, is the one that you want to take, and particularly is going to be beneficial as directing calcium into the right pathways so it doesn't accumulate in arteries and the like. If you don't have enough vitamin K2, you increase risk of plaquing. Maybe 2.5 milligrams a day is adequate, sometimes just 1 milligram a day. It depends on your need. It depends on what the laboratory work shows. There's a lot of information out there on the subject. If you go into even hopkinsmedicine.org, it'll show you the levels, and particularly when it comes to women's health, a big difference. But I would take it in conjunction with vitamin C, particularly a liposomal C, where it's absorbed better. Zinc is also critical. Your vitamin K2 generally should be produced by the probiotics, if you will, in your intestinal tract, but so many people have bad guts that they don't have enough of it. But you don't want to take too much of it. You want to make sure it's adequate, and you also want to have it tested periodically. And we do all of those things, but I wouldn't worry about it as long as you're not taking K1 at high levels, because that's going to cause clotting. There's a whole pathway. We could talk about that for the rest of today and tomorrow, but K2 and D should be taken together, but K2 at a low level, but on a constant basis, is very supportive. Most people, as we get older, are very depleted in K2, and it's not going to hurt you to take a small amount of it, but take it regularly, but make sure you're getting enough vitamin D. And if you know you have a bad gut, then probiotics should be added to that as well. I hope that helps. I know that's touching the surface, but hopefully that answers the question. If I can help you further, just send me a note at drtomrozell.com, and I'll be more than happy to kind of direct you and tell you more of what needs to be done. You know, we do programs like this, and it's incredibly important that you understand that I'm giving you information to provoke you to do more research so you can get out there and really find out what's right. At the Results Center for Healing, the doctors there are really knowledgeable. They know their stuff. And, you know, we hook into the community of integrative and natural therapeutics. But remember, I do this program continually and for one reason and one reason only. It's simply this: you deserve the truth, and I love you all. See you next week. Take care. Have a great day.